Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my excellent co-host, Chuck Ocelli, who has his own show as well as at ocelli.com. One of less than one handful of people's shows that I will ever recommend at this point and juncture in this reality we find ourselves swilling through. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Mom. Is it morning in America yet?
I don't know.
I use that phrase? I'm sorry.
I'm waiting for morning in America. We're all morning, all right, but not the way people think.
But see, that's it. If you spend more, if you spell mooring the right, morning the right way,
right?
Well, you could be mourning it.
Right. I mourn. I mourn for America. I mourn for it. Listen, there's so many top stories out there. We got to get to it. We might have to do like word association today because it's crazy shit. But I did want to tell you, and I don't know if you saw it, that this morning a commuter bridge collapsed in Genoa, Italy. I mean, it just collapsed. The films online are unbelievable. Okay, it was one of those, you know, high in the air highways. And they said it was from a structural defect plus the weather they're having, because they're having some pretty torrential rain. And I don't know how many people are dead already. Last count, it looked like 20. But imagine driving over a bridge and then the bridge disappears.
Well, you know, what I heard is, according to sources that are reporting on this, that I do find to be legitimate, they were doing some construction on this bridge. You know, the infrastructure, and people in America need to keep this in mind.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of crumbling infrastructure here. We could see a lot more of these kinds of stories very soon here, but back to what's actually happening. First of all, there was some construction going on there. Yes, they were suffering some pretty horrific weather. It seems to me like there was a kind of an unusual downpour of rain. Gee, Maria, I wonder why the weather is becoming a little more extreme all over the planet anyway. Isn't it fascinating that this went on? Is it horrendous? Yes, I saw a count of 11. If it's up to 20 now, I would not be shocked if it goes higher, because this is the main artery for traffic in that area. If people are not familiar with Genoa and the and where it is geographically, it is connected directly to a lot of port-based traffic. And you know, there's a whole lot of horrific video online already about it, and I bet the reports are going to get crazier. And I wonder, is this you know, what is going on with the Italian government, you know, and who is actually responsible for this? We're probably going to hear about that in the next few days, aren't we?
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because I immediately, you know, got a lot of other articles this morning as well. One is that New York and Pennsylvania is flooding and they're evacuating and trying to save lives there in New York and Pennsylvania. And yesterday, France was flooding terribly. Then you had those huge earthquakes in Indonesia, which also broke a dam, and everybody's homeless there. We had fairly big earthquakes in Alaska. And this morning, I was looking at a couple of articles that said, you know, first of all, this was record-breaking heat this summer, which I can attest to, because even in my little town, they said we broke records, okay, for heat up here. But they're saying that we can expect the heat to get worse over the next 5 years. Okay. So listen, it was brutal getting through the summer here, and I'm in the mountains where it was 100 degrees every day. Okay. Usually in the summer, we're at least 10, 15 degrees cooler than Phoenix, which, you know, has hit 116, 118, you know, most of the summer. So you look at this, and then I thought about Joe Anthony in our astrology show, and Joe has been saying for a while, and he said it on our last show, that the biggest problem facing all of us for the next few years is the weather. The weather is the most dangerous thing facing humanity. And then, of course, we have six planets in retrograde this month. So I'm looking at planes crashing. I'm looking at bridges collapsing. I'm looking at everything else. And even though a lot of people think astrology is, you know, something stupid, I got to tell you, it's pretty dead on as far as I could see. I'm like, holy crap.
Well, right. I mean, look, there's lots of glitches, you know, in the electronics that people are noting and having loads of fun with. California's on fire, you know, again. But really huge scale, despite the fact that maybe one of those fires had been initiated possibly by this guy they took into custody for arson.
Right, the Trump supporter.
Yeah, a Trump supporter, right. Well, you know.
And remember, Trump hates California, so it's not unusual. It's not a big stretch to think that one of his whipped up psychopaths that's probably on too many pharmaceutical drugs already decided to do Trump a favor and start that fire. You know, you look at what's going on with so much racism and hatred and people beating, you know, even if you're a black legislature, they call the cops on you. All of this, I have to tell you, I put it all on Trump, all of it. And Trump's got nothing to say about California. He's even more quiet on California than he was on Puerto Rico.
See, what is horrible here, though, is that as much as I would like to place all of the blame on Agent Orange, my problem is that that really what he did is embolden these people that had been simmering, you know, under the surface, if you will, for a very long time. It seemed like paranoid claims. A lot of people that were not necessarily feeling as though they had skin in the game for a very long time, people that think of themselves as white, really thought of this as an oversensitivity, and you need to get over this, and you know, this country isn't as bad as it once was, and so on and so forth. I think they forgot about the festering infection that was under the skin here. Mm-hmm. But what Trump has done effectively is actually embolden these people one way or another, and really a lot of it through coded language, which is kind of amazing considering that he just seems to speak in coded language. I'm sure it's not super well thought out. All he does is, you know, today even, Maria, you know, his former reality star lady that he dismissed from the White House has now got a tell-all book out. This is hilarious, by the way.
Well, not just a tell-all. She's got hundreds of tapes, and every day she's releasing a couple of them. And I got to tell you, I said, okay, obviously between her, Stormy Daniels, Maxine Waters, this is up to women to take this guy out. Because the men are doing nothing. But then today when Trump tweeted and called Amorosa a dog, this is something now that even Republicans, and I saw one guy from Fox News, the token black on Fox News, say that was unpresidential for him to say that. And my comment is, what? It took this for these people to wake up? He's called Mexicans rapists. He calls people animals, calls countries shitholes. And because he called Amorosa a dog, everybody's going wild. I mean, what the hell? You know, talk about insanity. It's like everybody's gone totally insane.
Well, right. And, you know, you got to love the zombie public relations person that he's got there. What's her name again? Oh, Kellyanne Conway.
Right.
Right. Her contortions were amazing. She's trying to reach for, well, we have blacks in the administration, and this is not true. And she couldn't even remember the one guy's name. That was beautiful.
Sleepy Ben Carson.
Well, there's him, and then she reaches for, you know, what is it, Jaron Smith, who she remembers Jaron but can't remember Smith. You know, and it's like, hey, see, look, we got two black friends. You know, this literally sounds like the old defense of, I'm not racist, I have black friends.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
It's like, name more than two. You have black friends. That's a plural. Name more than two, and I won't challenge you any further. And she couldn't even fully name two.
Well, today, I don't know if you saw right before the show, I saw one of the latest stories is that the Trump administration is now filing a lawsuit against Omarosa, trying to stop her and sue her for millions of dollars, okay? Everything right. with Trump is about money, all right? And, you know, there's everybody's all, oh, she broke security protocol. You know, this room was the most secure room in the White House, blah, 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 blah. The fact that Trump uses an unsecured phone, nobody seems to care about. Okay. The fact they don't look at the information, they look at the breach. Okay. It's just mm-hmm. like with Peter Strzok, you know, him getting fired. I have my own opinions on that. I think if anybody should have got fired, it should have been Trump. Because I watched Strzok's testimony, and he said he literally had the information to throw the election away from Trump and chose not to use it. The FBI guy that fired Strzok went against their own rules because he should have only been demoted and had a 60-day suspension. So now I'm hoping Strzok is going to sue them. But in the meantime, his fans started a GoFundMe page. As of about 20 minutes ago, it already had $200,000 in it.
Yeah, well, look, a guy like that is going to get some support, but a lot of other people are getting, you know, driven into the ground through this whole, you know, process of, hey, look, you got to swear allegiance. And the Amorosa thing is pretty funny because they're trying to take her to arbitration over violation of a non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
I mean, you know, this guy must have a roll of non-disclosure agreements like toilet paper, Trump. With the way he hands them out to everybody.
Right, but she said she never signed the NDA for the $15,000 a month he wanted to pay her for her silence. But yet, his chauffeur, remember his chauffeur, what was his name, Schilling or something like that, who never got paid from him, he is getting $15,000 a month. I mean, who doesn't this guy pay off to keep quiet? And if he's such a good Christian and such a clean, changed man, then what's he so worried about that he has to pay off everybody from prostitutes to members of his own administration?
Well, you know, if that's the only way that you understand how to, you know, relate to others, if everything is a transaction as opposed to, you know, loyalty based on character and based on a shared view of the world, a belief system, you know, that actually makes you into a leader. If all you understand is buy people's silence and buy people's loyalty, this is what you end up with, which is the most amazing part of all of this, is that really none of this should be even remotely shocking. I do find it, again, I want to add in a little more levity here, how he was going to hire the best people.
Right, right.
Well, but he hired a dog, according to him.
He said he shouldn't have hired a villain from a reality TV show. Well, isn't that what Trump is?
Well, you know, that also sounded pretty funny to me.
Right. And then he called her a lowlife. Are you kidding me? I said, somebody get this guy a mirror.
Yeah, lowlife. Well, you know, but again, here's where the qualifier comes in, right? As far as he's concerned, the only thing that elevates an individual, and this is the only core belief he actually has, and his supporters are guilty of this as well. It's another disease on top of the racism and all that, which is another aspect. I got to be honest with you. Some of these racists, I don't think you can buy them. It doesn't matter. You know, they just have their beliefs and they stick to them because, well, that's just all there is.
Right.
But the other problem here for a lot of people that are supporting him is that somehow it elevates you as a human being if you have had the appearance of success in the financial arena. Mm. Now, that's what the Trump brand is all about, success, right? So the Flim Flam man has told everybody that he didn't really start from a privileged position, which he did. And this is how he has navigated through the world. This is kind of the bare naked reality of what's been going on for a very long time in this country, this idea that if you are a financial success, well, you know, you can't be quite as guilty of
right.
doing things.
Different
or you're
laws.
Somehow a better person.
Right. But nobody gets rich like that without pulling off crimes, okay? So, I mean, anybody with a brain knows that. I don't care how hard you work. There's no way you're going to accumulate that kind of money unless you've done some dipping, you know, a la Paul Manafort style, which is another joke and a half, is this trial and this crazy judge that's ruling over the Manafort trial.
Well, you know, just before we started conversing, you saw the latest on this, right?
What, that the defense rests without calling any witnesses?
Yeah, no argument whatsoever. I said, well, if that isn't the most blatant...
Right, admission of guilty on all counts. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, you know, it's another blatant admission, though, which is that they really don't have to mount a defense. You know why, right?
There's no defense for what he did.
But they don't have to. Listen, a lawyer will create a defense. You know this. Any lawyer, the kind of lawyers that he's got.
Right.
Will create a defense, even if there is no defense.
Well, maybe he's also counting on Trump giving him a pardon.
That's the key here, is that no matter what, he figures that eventually, you know, it's not really going to matter. Why bother to waste all the time and money and everything else and more exposure of more problems for the public to consume? Because at the end of the day, he's got the pardon in his back pocket. I mean, we know this.
Right. Well, hopefully the American people won't pardon him if that happens. Because I really do believe that the American people are so disgusted right now. And I'm talking about the 65% or better that's not in favor of the Trump administration. People, you know, the media makes us think his cult is the majority. They're not. And I think that the majority might just chase these people down in the streets when there's no justice.
See, you would think so, but Joe Arpaio is free.
Yep.
And what's that?
Yep. Did you see Joe Arpaio on Sacha Baron Cohen's show?
In fact, I did.
Oh, my God. I was laughing. I'm rolling on the floor.
You know, I again, never thought much of, Sacha Baron Cohen before. Really didn't. I did not. It was kind of like, so-so. I can't even really kill an hour with this guy. But I've got to say, taking a look at some of these interviews.
Oh, my God, they're great. They're great.
They really are.
So
I mean, it almost outdoes having Dick Cheney sign your waterboard.
Right, but what it does, it makes you wonder, how stupid are these people? That they can't see through Sasha's makeup and the whole facade, especially since the show's been going on for a while and so many of them have gotten trapped, from Roy Moore to Sarah Palin. You would think they'd be smarter than that, but it just proves what kind of dirtbag losers, criminals, rule over the rest of us.
Well, here's another funny consideration, Maria, which I think people forget about. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, he blindsided him and he put him on the spot and all this. You know, after the interview is concluded,
right.
These people have to sign. You know, they made a big deal a couple of years ago about, oh, look, somebody's making people sign these talent contracts, you know, for use of their image. And that means that they're hired actors. Yeah, anybody who is going to appear on a television show or be distributed or utilized for a profitable piece of media like that, you do have to get a talent release form signed. Okay?
Absolutely.
It's one of the most basic things in the world. I mean, if you and I got together and did a documentary where we, you know, covered things together and we filmed interviews with, you know, homeless people, we would need them to sign, stating that we could utilize their image to sell that documentary. Otherwise, we have an unmarketable documentary.
Even if you're not selling it, you know, years ago, Chuck, God, it has to be 25 years ago, I was asked to give a lecture at a federal penitentiary here in Arizona. And it's the only, at the time, it was the only prison that allowed Native Americans to worship in their fashion. In other words, they let them hold sweat lodges, you know, pass the pipe around, sage, all this stuff. And they had heard me on the radio teaching the medicine wheel, and they had the warden call to ask if I would go and teach them the medicine wheel and witness their powwow. They were actually allowed to have a powwow once a year inside the prison. Now, I brought a filmmaker with me because I wanted to record it. And every single one of those prisoners had to sign one of those releases for us. Otherwise, we would not have been able to use the material.
That's right. Because they appeared. Your image is, you know, ostensibly belongs to you. And unless I have permission to use it, I cannot go ahead and distribute. It's that simple.
Right.
So here's the thing. Every one of these interviews, at the conclusion of these interviews, mind you, they had a moment to think about it, or a day or a week or something, a period of time to think about what just ran by them.
Right.
And they still signed off on it, most of them.
Well, yeah, Sheriff Joe said that. I signed the release. He says, I really didn't read it. I sign a lot of contracts. My bad. I should have read it. But when he asked him if Trump asked you to give him a blowjob, would you do it? And he answers immediately, yeah, I guess I would.
Well, that, and there was also a hand job and a
right.
few other things.
Right, oh, God,
there.
Right. I don't know if you saw the pedophile detector he used on Roy Moore, but even after a while, Roy Moore caught on and got up and walked out. But I thought that was a scream and a half, too. So
definitely.
I give the guy big kudos. I put him in the same category as Jim Carrey and his artwork. You know, Jim Carrey's artwork against this administration has been superb. I mean, absolutely excellent. Mm. But everybody wants to say he's crazy because he actually achieved spiritual enlightenment.
Well, you know, he's been crazy a long time, according to a lot of people. But and who knows? Maybe he is, but it doesn't mean he's wrong.
Right. We got a lunatic in office and nobody seems to care. So
yeah,
maybe it takes one. You remember when I was a kid, we used to say it takes one to know one. So we had Trump calling everybody all these names. And I'm like, wow, it takes one to know one. Anyway, today Twitter was ablaze against Trump because he called Omarosa a dog. I mean, it waited till he called her a dog with everything else, and people are saying they should cancel his Twitter account, all this crap. But she also said now that she's got tapes of Ivanka and Jared. Now, those are the ones I really like to listen to.
Well, you know they're saving the best for last. And what is extremely hysterical is that she was in this trusted position. Truthfully, I mean, he should have, anybody in his orbit should have had the sense to know that Omarosa is not going to keep quiet.
Right.
And the idea that she's recording everybody means nobody's bothering to check things, nobody's being careful which means to me, if Omarosa could capture a whole bunch of things that the public really isn't supposed to hear, I wonder who else could capture lots of things the public isn't really supposed to hear. Maybe our adversaries?
Right. Maybe our friends in Russia and Israel?
Yeah, well, you know, not like any of that actually goes on. Everything's fine with Israel, just like everything's fine in North Korea and
right.
everywhere else.
Exactly. Well, you know, he fixed all those problems somewhere in the recesses of his mind. But, you know, I am a little curious. I wonder, since he is such a pig, whether he's ever hit on or had sex with Omarosa. You know, but then again, I think to myself, well, a real racist like him probably wouldn't, but then you never know. You know, he looks like he would bang anything that's, you know, not moving.
Well, see, now that's the funny thing. I've got to tell you that I've actually personally known a couple of pretty hardcore racists in my life. And the odd thing is they make the exception when it comes to the bedroom, you know.
Well, I saw the same thing with people that are supposed to be real anti-Semites, and they have no problem having sex with Jewish people, though.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing about that. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
It's called hypocrisy and lunacy. It's called lunacy. Well, you know, you talked a little bit earlier about Trump emboldening these people, and that's a word I use a lot, that I always type in, Trump emboldened this. He encourages and emboldens the worst among us. And even though they were supposed to have this big Nazi march in D.C. this weekend with so much preparation by the police, and should we put them on special train cars? I said, yeah, put them on cattle cars. Basically, nobody showed up. They had less than 30 people. So it is working that regular, normal Americans are coming out as anti-protesters against them. I think there were over 1,000 of them in D.C. this weekend. And the truth of the matter is, like people say, well, what are we going to do with Trump supporters, you know, once Trump is out of office? They're going to crawl right back into the corners they've been hiding in for the rest of their lives because they're cowards. They're cowards just like their king. And Trump is the ultimate coward, as far as I'm concerned.
Listen, this is absolutely true, but we have to also give some credit to the shaming that has gone on. See, people go out in public, and yes, you have the right to say any ugly, disgusting thing you like, so long as you're not encouraging someone to directly commit a crime, right? You know, because there are statutes against that that make sense. I mean, literally encouraging people to do violent things, and then they do it, yeah, you are partially responsible. I get it. But, you know, vile speech is something that, yeah, you're perfectly free to be an idiot and a lowlife in real life, okay? Going out there and making all these racially ridiculous statements and quoting things from Nazi Germany because you think that that's something that represents you in some way. Okay, fine. That's all good, but here's the problem. You're going to go out in public and do it. People have cameras on their phones now. They'll take pictures of you. They'll find out who you are, and they'll let your bosses know that, you know, hey, in case you didn't know it.
Right.
You happen to have a Nazi working for you. In case you didn't know it, you know, the people taking care, I mean, there have been people taking care of children, taking care of old people that are white supremacists. They've been revealed.
Right.
So I think that's another thing that's gone on is that some of these guys don't want to wind up getting caught on video, on tape, you know. Even the guy who fired a gun into the crowd last year, you know, all these different people, they're getting caught. This is one of the good parts of people carrying around these devices where they have a camera on them all the time.
Right. Well, right? It's like I tell people, we could use social media in reverse to expose these kind of people instead of them just using it against us. You can use it against them as well. But in the bottom line, how does that solve the problem? Okay, how does it solve the problem of the hatred and the idiocy and the violence? You know, I can honestly tell you, and I haven't lived through the 60s and the riots in the 60s, and believe me, Chuck, they happened right at the base of the stoop of my house. So we had front row seats to those riots, okay? And yet, I've never seen anything like America today.
Well, you see, what boiled over then, right, had been under the surface. For a long time, there was this, you know, in some places in the North, it was, you know, the polite public discussion. But it was there, right? In the South, it was pretty much on the nose. It just is what it was, and it was supposed to be, well, that's the way things are. The longer that you leave something below the surface simmering, right, the longer you leave a cover on a pot, on a stove, anybody knows this, the more heat builds up.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, every once in a while, some of this has to be bled off. And unfortunately, it does come to things like, you know, civil disobedience that spreads into violent clashes. That will happen unless we address the issue. Now, is anybody actually addressing the issue? They want to talk about sensitivity. Is it a good thing that, oh, it's because it's a black woman that was called a dog? Let me get realistic about that really quickly. It's not about that he called a black woman a dog. You want the truth here? It's that he thinks himself above others. Calling people dogs is a constant way to show that he believes that they are less than human. Most people, as long as, you know, hey, listen, if they're on his side, even if they are dogs otherwise, if they're on his side, then they're good dogs.
But that's right out of the Nazi playbook where they have to dehumanize people and call them animals or swine, or, you know, we've used those terms, you know, when we invaded Vietnam, you know, with the names of, you know, the people there, you know, the same thing. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was Lyndon Johnson, of all presidents, who said something to the effect that the only way you can get people distracted is to make them feel that they're better than someone else, and that's what they have been using as in the race war. Making the poorest white, that's what he said, something like, to make the poorest white man feel superior, you have to demonize the black. And Johnson wasn't saying to do that because Johnson was, you know, the president that put in the Civil Rights Act. But he made it pretty clear that, you know, as long as you can make somebody feel like they're better than somebody else, even though they're not, you can trick the poorest white person into thinking that they're better than somebody else. And to me, that really defines this whole white supremacist bullshit. Because, listen, I grew up in a slum. I've always driven around slums. And I look at these slums, even in my own town, people living in them are white. And I've often wanted to just take pictures of these white supremacist slums because I don't understand where they think they're better than anybody else. You know, and they're the ones that have the big flags, the big Trump signs. And I'm like, it's almost desecrating the flag to put a flag on a hovel like that. So, you know, I've always wondered, you know, what is it that white supremacists think they're better than anybody else for? Because I've never seen it. It makes no logic to me.
Well, and I got to tell you, these charmers that are still showing up for these rallies or any example, I just don't get it. You know, like I've said many times, I will stick by the original conclusion of the U.S. government when it came to Italians. We were non-whites, so I'll stay there. I really don't want to be white. I know I'm not black, so I'm happy.
Well, I don't know. I'm half Sicilian, and my father used to always tell my mother she was black because Sicily was invaded so many times. So I'm okay either way. And I'm not putting down white people because I know I have normal white people listening to my show. But I've never believed that anybody was better than anybody else just based on, you know, your skin color or whatnot. How ridiculous is that? You know, I don't know if you got to see the op-ed piece that Stephen Miller, the true Nazi in Trump's administration, his uncle wrote this week, calling Stephen Miller and Donald Trump basically Nazis and saying how they're following a Nazi playbook and not remembering their own heritage, their own migration to America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm seeing children of other people that are in office, GOP people, who are now donating to the Democrats and who are ashamed, even voting against their own fathers.
Right. You know, and look, I'm not necessarily for either side of this equation, but quite honestly, what I'm more about at this point in time is being against what is taking hold here, and anything that is resistant when it comes to this nonsense has got to be an improvement. I mean, that's a sad thing. You know, I was not a fan of Barack Obama's. I was not a fan of W. You know, I was a fan of Bill Clinton's at first. I learned better, but quite honestly, you know, what was I, 18 years old when this guy took office? He was like my first presidential vote, right?
Right.
And the guy played the saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show. What do you want me to tell you?
Right. Everybody thought he was cool. They were young, and they were cool.
Well, there was that, and also there was, hey, this guy might have actually smoked weed. I'm sorry, but, you know, teenage musician Chuck thought that this means that this is a real person.
Right.
You know?
Well, then we found out
the Bush we had.
Right. Chuck, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water with myself and Chuck Ocelli. Get over to ocelli.com. Support the few voices out there that actually make sense, do the homework, and don't beat around the bush, that's for sure. You know, talking about elections, whether it was Clinton, you know, I started my show on radio when Bill Clinton was still in office. That's how long I've been doing this show. And right. I covered his criminality. I covered him selling us out to China, you know, following up on, you know, George Bush Sr. sell out to China. I covered George W., the idiot king. I covered Obama and his NDAA and selling weapons to the cops and, you know, Fast and Furious. I didn't leave anything out. But never in my life have I had to cover a total idiot like Donald Trump. And on a personal level, I liked Obama as a man. I wouldn't even use the term man when I talk about Donald Trump. I mean, he's just a lunatic, hateful, rapist, racist, lying piece of garbage. Okay. Bleeding us dry, by the way, making lots of money at his hotels and his products and you know, his golf. You remember he was never going to take a vacation. He was going to be too busy. And well, he slams everybody from the NFL. But if you look at it, he's always on top of the only people he seems to slam are women and black or non-white people. He doesn't have the courage to go up against Michael Avenatti. I haven't seen him go up against him once in a tweet.
Well, you know, it's I again, there is a supremacy clause there in his language, and I'm not sure if it's about being white. You know, I think that's just the assumed part of it. That's an easily seen part of it. But the reality is this concept of somehow the con man real estate hustler from Queens is above the boards when it comes to everybody else, that he has a level of superiority to anybody is amazing to me.
Right.
You know, and,
well,
and,
you know, when he had his, I had a story, I don't know, a week or so ago. Chuck, I have so much news, it's hard to keep it in my head anymore. But when he had his Trump, I think it was either his, yeah, I think it was his Trump Foundation or his bullshit Trump organization. The guy that became CEO was warned by the CEO leaving to be careful what you say in here because Trump tapes everything. So now Trump doesn't like the fact that people are taping him all the time. This reminds me so much of Nixon and Nixon's tapes. Why wouldn't people tape him? He's disloyal. And even Omarosa said it. You know, anybody that leaves this administration gets demonized. She wanted proof. She knew her day was coming sooner or later. So here you have a man who demands loyalty and gives none. And then after he's done with you and spits you out, he talks about you like you're total trash.
Yeah, but see, that's another interesting thing here, again, with this engineered part of the situation. He was supposed to go after the guy who did the Fire and Fury book, right, in court, but I haven't seen that happen.
Right.
You know, a fortune was made off of that book. That guy has now disappeared. Yeah, he had to take a couple of promotional barbs from the president, right, on Twitter, but that's about it. He's gone. The fact that... We have a press secretary that comes out, this Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who comes out and says, oh, I've never seen a media attack a president like this. Yeah, that's my Sarah Sanders impression. You know, give me a break. Yeah.
Right. Barack Obama was slammed for wearing a tan suit, for chewing gum, for smoking a cigarette. Ooh, big crimes.
He had coffee in his hand when he saluted somebody. Don't forget, you know, there was other underground stuff that went on.
And he chose Poupon mustard. That was another reason to demonize him.
That's right. He had fancy mustard.
Right. He was uppity. He was being uppity.
Yeah. Well, isn't that rough? But besides that, you know, Michelle Obama was a man.
Right.
So all of that going on.
Uh-huh. All that bullshit every day. Lynching post memes. I mean, I've seen it all.
Right.
And listen, Sarah Sanders is nothing but a liar. These people call themselves Christians. I'll tell you what, if their hell exists, they're all going straight there. If it doesn't, I hope their minds create it for themselves when they die. And, I mean, I don't even know why they even hold press conferences anymore because she never answers anything. All she does is lie and insult the members of the press. And that's another story breaking today. 100 newspapers have agreed to get together and blast Trump every single day in unison. I mean, he's going to call them the fake news. They might as well put out the same kind of stuff Omarosa is. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, but here we go. Is this helping is my question. You know, because a lot of these outlets which pretend to be the opponents...
Right.
Are not really the opponents. Just like this whole thing with Manafort, which you brought up earlier and I wanted to get back around to. You know, for me, this is, again, a grand distraction. A lot of distractions. Stork has fired, all these things going on. The fact is, in my opinion anyway, they're going to quash all of this. It's all going to go away. And it's not because of Democrats versus Republicans, although it's, you know, kind of brutally obvious because they don't have the ability to do things in a nuanced way, apparently, any longer. You know,
they don't
higher
have the
IQ
desire.
Guys are going to somebody
right.
else.
They can tell us that they have the desire, But believe me, the Democrats have no intention of changing the system.
Right.
And, you know, you can see it with this defense bill that they all signed off for, which, by the way, was named for John McCain, which is something Trump didn't bother mentioning at his signing when he told the Army people that if they were real patriots, they wouldn't accept their raise. Okay. I mean, I don't know how people still put up with this moron. But when you look at it, it all boils down to, and you and I had this discussion before the show, the media has never taken on the real issue. And the real issue in America is not Republicans and Democrats and do we have a democracy. The real issue is the stealing of our elections and how they do it every single time.
Well, but see, here's the thing. To expect the mainstream media to take on these issues in a realistic fashion, I mean, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. Here's why. And I'll use this another one of this week's stories, you know, breakneck speed the news cycle spins at, but let's hit it. You know, Yemen, okay? Now we have children dying on a school bus, okay? Mm-hmm. And there was this airstrike that cost 40 lives. And now the MSM is outraged.
Right.
All right, let's put a pause on that for a second. There's a genocide going on in Yemen.
And it's been going on.
What's that?
It's been going on. I've been covering it for months and months.
Yes, same here. But now they're paying attention because they have some pictures to show you of dead kids.
Right.
Are they placing the blame on the fact that the Saudis, which are a client state of the U.S., are being backed by the U.S.? Oh, wait a minute. Didn't Trump go there last year as a weapon salesman, basically, to sell them a whole bunch of more military-industrial complex stuff? What do you think they're using in Yemen?
Exactly. Well, and, you know, let's not forget, you know, how we released the disease that's killing people there, how they're starving there, how we continue to bomb them. And that's a war nobody seems to be covering, just like people believe Iraq and Afghanistan is over.
Yeah, right. Exactly the point is that, you know, here's the other part of it, right? The outsider was going to come in, and why are we involved in all these wars?
Yep.
Has he changed any of that?
No, he has actually dropped more bombs and drones than Obama did. And he has already beat Obama's record in 1 year.
Oh, wait, we forgot about that part of it, right? Obama is the gangster who's out there with the drone program. Right. Trump uses it more.
Right. I don't know if you saw how they tried to kill that president in Argentina with a drone.
Oh, that was another. See, another. We will never get to all of the news items just from this week, Maria.
Let alone a month. Maybe we should do a weekly show instead of a monthly show.
So, we really should, because, yes, Maduro and the drones. Go ahead.
Right. And, you know, I got to tell you, I looked at that. I looked at his guards, his army running away. Okay, they're supposed to be protecting him. And then his guards put up what looked like yoga mats to protect him. It was interesting to me was that Bolton immediately said, this wasn't us. Now, when you come out with a fast denial like that, I don't know about other people and where they grew up, but I know in Brooklyn, when you come out with a quick denial like that, you're guilty as sin, okay? Just like Trump is guilty as sin. Every day, everything he does just shows more and more guilty as sin. Okay, because my mother taught me. She says, the guilty party always speaks first. I've never found that to not be correct. So you look at that. I mean, I was a little jealous. And then I thought about the fact that while schmuckface Trump, I think he was at his golf course one day, and I think it was Greenpeace that flew something really close to him, you know, with some kind of banner slamming him. You know, I thought to myself, wow, too bad it wasn't happening here. You know, but with all this kind of warfare and weaponry and whatnot, I think that really showed that no one is safe.
Mm. Well, look, you know, I guess Trump is well protected at his golf courses. We don't have to worry about that. It seems as though he's avoided the harassment of the baby Trump blimps. Somehow those have all disappeared, too. You know, it's just amazing to me, though, when you take a look at, like I said, what does the mainstream media jump up and pay attention to? Oh, look, there were deaths here. See, we covered Syria. No, you didn't.
Right. It's like they covered Fukushima, okay? That's another non-story. Flint water is still polluted, non-story. You know, infrastructure collapsing in America, non-story. And it's every day because we have so much madness to deal with. You know, this morning I saw that an article that Putin wants Trump to turn over 3 DHS agents to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'd rather see him send 3 Trumps to Putin. But I don't doubt that this Russian agent we have in office would do it if he was allowed to do it. He's thrown his own son under the bus. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, not so much, though. A lot of this is theater, right? To create chaos and to give the appearance that certain things are actually happening when they're not. See, if somebody was really concerned about their legal defense and the possibility that somebody might, you know, cause enough of a problem for them to be impeached and then maybe prosecuted afterwards, would they actually be allowed to make the public statements that Trump is making? It seems to me as though every time there is some progress made where he's gotten out of something or there is a new way for him to create something else that'll distract people. I mean, look at him sending Giuliani out there. There's another piece of news.
Oh, God. I know.
The embarrassing Italian himself.
I know. Sort of like Scaramucci.
Well, Scaramucci at least makes, I mean, Scaramucci's an attack terrier.
He's a real gavon. He is truly a real gavon.
But he makes coherent sentences. Rudy's not even making coherent sentences
anymore.
Now, Rudy,
I think Rudy's guilt over his participation in 9/11 has rotted his brain. And these people don't realize the hell that they all will get and deserve once they're off this planet. So they better hope they live a long life. Because payback's a bitch. But listen, with Trump, you know, 8 cans of diet soda a day. He eats nothing but garbage food. You know, he's got those Propecia drugs that create dementia. When people act like they're surprised at what Omarosa is saying, I don't understand. Where's the surprise? Anybody could see this man is mentally ill. That he's on the biggest decline I've ever seen. And you see him sweat more and more when he's speaking than he ever did before. How he hasn't had a massive heart attack is beyond what I can comprehend.
No, I hear you. You know what it is? He's not really working at anything. You know, I think that's what's helping him is all that vacation time. Otherwise, I'm not sure why he's still alive. Now, there are those out there we didn't get to QAnon, but let's hit on that in just a second.
Okay.
First thing is, isn't it funny? How those that used to criticize the most minor of misstatements are all on board for what's going on here, no matter how incoherent they are, no matter how much sense things don't make, no matter how many times somebody changes their statements and flips things around and admits things they denied and then denies things they admitted to, all of that is just fine. Hey, the wacky, wacky world of conspiracy theory has absolutely been totally hijacked, though, by these wonderful QAnon people who are here to tell you, Marie, I don't know if you have kept up with any of this, but, you know, JFK Jr. faked his own death so that he could come out and be Trump's defender via QAnon so they could all go after the massive pedophile rings, don't you know?
Listen, I love my listeners, and I love my co-hosts. And I had that argument. I love Joe Anthony. But Joe, he's my opposite. You know, he's an optimist. He's always looking for the beauty and the best. Okay. And that's what I love about him. Kind of like Michael Rakier, who's also my opposite. But when Joe started quoting, you know, and putting hope in QAnon, and then there was another one, not just QAnon, just 4chan. And listen, I didn't even need, and my listeners were sending me articles from them. What do you think? What do you think? And Joe on one of the shows, and I immediately slammed him down, and I said, that's all bullshit. And when my listener sent it to me, I immediately knew it was all bullshit. There's so many people out there that are getting rich on this kind of bullshit. But for me, I was born with a bullshit detector, okay? And what I didn't know about detecting bullshit, my parents told me. Growing up in Brooklyn told me. My intuition, psychic gift, whatever you want to call it, I can sniff them out in a second. And now, I don't know if you've seen Anonymous, another bullshit, said they're going to shut down Q. I don't know if you've seen any of that. They're going to go after Q all around the world and shut them down. I've been looking at Anonymous and another place people have put false hope for the past 10 years, probably. What have they actually done? They haven't done anything.
Well, Anonymous initially was an interesting group of people. As far as what calls itself Anonymous and who calls themselves Anonymous now, well, you know, grains of salt, oh many you need. it's very hard to tell who's who in this surrogate reality now.
But you know what? My listeners will tell you, as they'll tell anybody, especially people that have been with me for the 20 years, let alone people that have known me since I was a kid, which some of them are actually still alive. One thing they always will say is I'm always consistent. What I said 15, 20 years ago is the same now. Well, that's something I learned from my father. He said, don't lie. Lies are too hard to keep track of. As long as you keep telling the truth, you'll always know what you said. So for me, and I will tell you this, Chuck, I have gotten a lot of notes from people internationally who have told me, and I don't want to mention the shows because they're shows I've been on and people I actually like, but they said they're no longer listening to their news and I'm still the only one whose news they'll listen to now.
Well, that's because there is no need for nonsense. Look, if you and I discuss nonsense, it is just simply to mention it, tag it as nonsense, and be done with it. And that is something they're not getting from anybody else.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, listen, I wasn't raised on fear. You know, my father always taught all of us, fear no man. They can only kill your body. They can't touch your soul. And that's the way I live my life. I can't tell you, Chuck, I still have some of my closest friends begging me almost every day to stop doing this show. They worry more about me than I do. Okay, and I'm like, what else would I do? It's who I am. It's what I came here to do. So if they take me out, they take me out. What am I going to do? Go home? Ooh, what a punishment. Do you know what I mean? Get me off this planet. By the way, as of this morning, I have not seen any real news that Aretha Franklin is dead, although some people are already posting memes that she is. But the truth of the matter is she isn't. She is gravely ill. I did not know she's been suffering cancer really badly. She's 76, and I think they said she's down to something like, I don't know, 86 pounds or something. But I love Aretha Franklin. I grew up on Motown. I felt yesterday when I got the news, I really literally felt like a part of me was dying. That's how much I respect her and respect her work. And at the same time, I said, soon she'll be free of this chain of fools planet. That's the way I look at it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely correct. And yeah, you know what? Aretha Franklin also deserved. Yeah, we didn't get to that.
Well, I wanted to mention
not dead as far as I know either. I don't see any real news on that. Yes, gravely ill. Apparently, her family put out a statement stating that she was on hospice care, and we all know what that means.
Well, yeah, she's lucky she'll go quickly because that's not a pleasant death. But remember, Aretha Franklin sang at Barack Obama's inauguration. And who did Trump get to play for him? The banjo kid from Deliverance?
Yeah, well, there's actually three presidents. She performed at Carter's and Obama's. I believe she performed three times.
She might have at the Clinton's. She might have also at the Clinton at inauguration.
When it might have been. I think Fleetwood Mac was the feature there.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, that woman was, she'll never be replicated. And, you know, it's funny because about a year or two ago, I was working out at the gym and I'm all jiving away on the stair climber and I'm like dancing, you know, I was actually dancing. And this younger man who was probably in his 20s said to me, "You look like you're dancing. Who are you listening to?" And I just looked at him and I said, "Aretha." And he looked at me and he said, "Aretha who?" And I said, "Shame on you." I said, "She's only the queen of soul." And I just kept going. So young people with their digital crap music have no idea what kind of great music I grew up with. You know, and I always preferred Motown. So, you know, when she does get to cross over, if anybody deserves to go straight through the veil and into her next reward, straight to rock and roll heaven, she belongs there.
Well, yes, a unique voice that created sounds in this world that'll never be duplicated, and absolutely created the kind of thing that resonated in the individual, right in your guts. You know, you could feel what she did. And not just a soul singer, by the way, not just a an R&B singer, but all around she had a gift that that she utilized. I mean, now she probably can't utter a word, but soon she'll be in a much, much better place.
Amen. She'll be free of Planet of the Apes, that's for sure. And I tell my friends when they're all worried about dying, I'm like, what, are you kidding me? I said, I get jealous when I see other people die. So we'll all go when our number's called, like my mother used to say, but I'll tell you what, coming down to this reality show is something people need to remember to never repeat. Never repeat. Never come back here. There's plenty of better places.
See, that's the only good thing I take from a lot of this stuff is I'm hoping that this gets so ridiculous and so stupid that people say, you know what, let's not do that again.
Exacto, okay? Mundo. Let's keep space for peace.
Right.
We didn't even get to that, but we're out of time, Chuck.
Oh, yeah, because we could go Space Force and whatever else. Anyway.
Right, and it's going to make the Martians pay for it.
Right.
Chuck, maybe I'll drop in on you on one of your open mic nights on your show.
Well, you know what? We might need to do a full show sometime soon. I haven't asked you to do that in a while because of this, but
yeah,
I think we should. And anyway, thank you for doing this with me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. My love to you and your family.
And back at you.
Take care, Chuck. Bye. Chuck Ocelli. Check his work out at ocelli.com. Thanks for listening to the show. Hope you got a few chuckles out of it. Because listen, if we don't laugh at what's going on, I truly believe our heads would explode at this point. Anyway, that's today's show. I'll see you guys on Thursday with the news. Thanks again for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.